The Endurance Asia Podcast.
Yo, pick your red up cause things ain't that bad. Maybe you should switch the target that you're aiming at. Believe perfection is a beast that they'll never catch. So never waste another day because life moves so fast. And a dream without pursuing, yo, they never last. Another shadow of regret I try to never cast. And always tell a truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining cause things ain't that bad.
We're back at the Endurance Asia Podcast after a truly exciting weekend in Sabah, Borneo at TMBT following the Asia Trailmaster finals. And honestly, one of the most exciting races I've followed live in person. To set the scene for the weekend, this has been a slightly shorter season for the ATM finals, around 9 months, and we were blessed to have the best field at any Asia Trail Master finals yet. So the expectations were extremely high, and I'm pleased to say it lived up to it. There'd been some crazy weather in Borneo for the prior few days, and torrential rain, really strong winds, to the point that I was messaging with Klaus, the race director of Borneo Ultra, and he had been up trying to fix the course, reroute the course, because parts of the course had actually been washed away. There was a bridge that crossed one of the rivers that had been completely washed away. So they had to reroute the course, and hats off to the Borneo Ultra team for all of the last minute changes. I can only imagine how stressful that must have been, working through the night to try and get everything ready. They pulled it off, and they sort of worked solidly for two nights, and also managed to mark the course exceptionally well. There were it did mean that a lot of the course had to be, I think it was around a 5 or 6K, had to be rerouted, not just of the ATM finals course, but the 50 and 70K had to be rerouted. Oh, in fact, sorry, the 100K and the ATM course had to be routed up a road for around 8K, and actually meant that it added an additional 7K to the ATM final course. So it was no longer 78, but went up to 85. And there were quite a lot of runners, specifically in the women's field, that hadn't actually run longer than 50K. So, I mean, were focused on running 50K. I think Vanya had run in the previous final in Indonesia around 70 or 75. So this was going to be the longest race she had run anyway. Same with Priya. Priya Rai had previously the race in Nepal, where she beat Rishila, was the longest race that she'd run at 55K. So also for those runners that were predominantly had a background in road, this was going to benefit them as well. And so the start of the race, 5 a.m. for the ATM final, as well as the 100K, and would have started in the dark. Mount Kinabalu shrouded in cloud. The weather of the last few days was still looking over the rest of Borneo, and there were some pretty fierce looking clouds there. The following on the Asia Trailmaster Facebook and YouTube page was incredible. It's just Chris and the team just did a fantastic job once again. And I was racing the 30K, but it didn't start to 8 a.m. So was able to follow the coverage from the beginning. And I think it was the second checkpoint at around 11 or 12K. And you saw Stingray had gone out so hard, incredibly hard, with a group of Nepalese runners, Arjun and two or three other Nepalese runners. You also had Arnie in there and Jeff Campbell. And apparently Stingray just wanted to put it into the Nepalese runners to see if he could burn them out and knock them out early in the race. And whilst he didn't actually put them out. He did pull ahead, and I think at some point Arnie and Jeff both pulled ahead. But the Nepalese team actually seemed to get lost, and actually it was a running theme throughout the race. So I think it was Arjun and Rai Lokendra that ended up making a couple of mistakes and actually fell out of the race fairly early. The other protagonists in there were obviously Stingray, but with Christian as well. You had Wilson singing and Chris Timms, who we caught up beforehand, was looking to sort of aim for top 10. So really strong field. And on the women's side, I'd mentioned about Priya Rai and Vanya Knops, and then Rashila were the expected to be the podium. How did it work out? So going into, Jeff had actually pulled away from the middle of the race, and we'll hear from Jeff in person shortly. And then Arnie Macarenas was very, very close behind for much of the race, probably sort of like 6 to 10 minutes behind. And as we hear from Jeff, those last sort of 12K, there's a climb around 8K, which is absolutely brutal coming up to the finish line. Bearing in mind that at this point, the race had been extended from 75 to around 82. And so mentally, if you're preparing yourself for a 75K and you put everything in to get to that 75K mark, and then knowing that you've got another 7K on top of that, it's got to be quite challenging mentally. And it really ended up with the most amazing finish. And Jeff came in over the finish line, but closely followed by Hisashi Kitamura, who was literally just a minute and 40 seconds after Jeff. And all that time we were thinking that Arnie was going to be in second spot, but Hisashi just put in the most incredible run in that last 10 to 15K. And Hisashi had actually, from the beginning of the race, had been a bit behind, had been a good few minutes behind the lead pack. And Chris originally, Hisashi was his bet to win this final, but thought there might be something wrong. But he was just pacing himself, having come to TMBT last year and was built and was beat by David Simpat, who on his home turf had beat him, and he's also finished second in previous years as well. So he'd never actually run the race, but he knows the course extremely well. So on this occasion, paced himself and almost to perfection. Jeff Campbell ends up coming over the line in 9 hours 49 minutes, and Hisashi Kitamura follows very closely behind in 9 hours 51. And to think of a 10-hour race to win by 2 minutes is just out of this world. It's so incredible. And the reaction from Hisashi Kitamura, you can see on both the Endurance Asia Instagram page where we went live when he crossed the finish line. And also, if you can check out on the Asia Trailmaster Facebook and YouTube, you can see the whole series of when they were coming in over the finish line in the interviews. Just so intense. And he was so frustrated, but also just, was just in such good energy, so funny, and took it extremely well. But what an absolute competitor this man is, Hisashi Kitamura. A man that competed against John Ellis in, I think it was 4 years ago, so it might have been 2019, when that was prior to the actual final, where all of the finalists competed against each other in one race. But in 2019, the points were so close that it ended up actually being a race off in a race in Chiang Mai, to find out who would win. And both him and John Ellis absolutely put it into each other the whole day, going back and forth. And Hisashi, a 2-hour 30 marathon runner, just battled with John, but he managed to win it on that day. So I don't know what it is about T8 athletes and Kitamura, but they seem to get the upper edge. But just a fascinating finish. And in the women's race, Priya Rai, who was also Chris's bet to win the race. So I went for Jeff to be the men's winner, and Vanya to be the women's. Chris mentioned that he thought Kitamura would win the men's and that Priya Rai would win the women's, and so we're evens on that, because Priya Rai came in first, and actually by a fair way. So she just over 11 hours. And Vanya followed, I think around 12:30 or 12:36. So Priya ran by quite a way, and Priya actually beat Rashila in the Nepal race earlier in the year. So I hadn't really heard of Priya too much, because she hadn't raced outside of Nepal, but I expect to see her on the series and to be racing internationally a little bit more. What an incredible talent, finishing fifth overall, just after with Arnie obviously having coming in third in the men's race, and then Milton Amat, whose home turf is around Mount Kinabalu, coming in fourth, and then Priya Rai coming in fifth overall. Also, huge shout out to Chris Timms, who would have benefited slightly from the reroute of the course and going on road. He's a very, very strong road runner and has won lots of races on undulating road. But this was a technical course. I mean, I went out and did the 30, and having been doused in rain over the prior week, the course was very muddy. It ranges from running road, fire track, and then you'll drop down into technical forest, which is extremely steep, roots, rocks, very slippery, which is not necessary, which will benefit runners such as Stingray, who is used to running in and some of the Filipino and Malay runners that are used to running on technical muddy trails. But yeah, he absolutely put in the performance of his life, finishing in 11 hours 4 minutes and coming fifth male. So proud of him. So such a good run. So what of the other protagonists, Stingray and Christian? They actually both DNF'd around the 50k mark. Stingray, who had gone out extremely hard to put it into the front of the field and to see if he could be a war of attrition to take it out of the other competitors. Speaking to him after, he had some stomach issues. He also had really bad pains in his back, and when he got to around the 50k mark with sort of around 30k to go, I think by that point had dropped off a little bit from Jeff and Arnie, and I think he was actually running the similar time as Christian. Then they came into the checkpoint together. Christian, who had just come off the back of Triple C, where he had put in a great run around 13 and a half hours, but was, by his own admission, really overtrained. He'd spent the last 2 months in Europe, and I think had been putting in sort of like 160, 180k weeks, obviously loving being up there in the mountains, but probably putting a bit too much into his legs. And it's quite close to come from Triple C and around the UTMB series, and then just two weeks later come in, take on one of the toughest races competitively, or the toughest race competitively in Asia. So I think he was, by the sounds of it, just wasn't feeling it during the day. I think Chris said he was running and he just didn't seem like he was on his best game. So yeah, pushed, finished with pulled out with around 50 after about 50k. Also, Alessandro Sherpa, another prior winner of Asia Trail Masters, was expected to be sort of towards the front of the race. Had a pretty tough day out there. When I was speaking to Chris Timms, he said he saw Sherpa on it with his poles going through the technical bits, was just incredible, and just such an efficient runner and such good running style, especially with poles going up through the technical trail and through the hills. But yeah, maybe on the flip side to Christian Jorgensen, probably wasn't as trained enough. He'd run the Bali Ultra and won that quite convincingly, but with not a very competitive field there, so hadn't really towed the start line with some of Asia's best. But so impressed that he still pushed on through. I think that if you know you're not going to be in a podium spot, then it might be easy to just call it quits, but still ended up pushing on through and finishing 15th overall. A couple of other call outs. Hue Win from Vietnam, who I've seen racing in VMM and a few other races, really, really strong runner, has podiumed many of the Vietnam Trail Series, and he came in sixth and put in a fantastic run. And Kick Russell Swallow from Philippines came in seventh on the males. And the male race, really, really good run and kind of like unexpected with 11:42. And then another Malaysian, Wilson Singin, who came in eighth. Just rounding out the top 10 podium for the males was Yuta Matsuyama from Japan and Arjun Rai from Nepal. One of that front pack that went out with Stingray very early, but got lost on a couple of occasions, which was absolutely nothing to do with the course markings, because the RD, Klaus and the TMB team put in a really good job remarking the course. Having said that, I got slightly lost on my 30K, but was just a lack of concentration. If you didn't see a marker in 2 or 3 meters, you'd gone the wrong way. So if you weren't looking for your markers, it's on you. So just rounding out the female race as well, outside of the top three, which was Priya Rai, Vanya Knops and Rashila Tamang, you had Loi Lung of the Mood team, also running with Hao Hao. As part of the same team, she came in fourth, and then we had a Korean, Hiju Jang, and then there was two Nepalese runners, Padam Kumari and Choki Sherpa, rounding out a really strong, I mean, there was four female Nepalese runners in the top seven, which is just really impressive. So how did that impact the overall team event? Well, the three female Nepalese runners really put in a great performance for their team, actually meaning that Nepal won the race as the team event, and followed by Philippines and Malaysia as the second and third as the team. So yeah, overall a fantastic follow. I think hats off to the TMBT team and the Borneo Ultra Trails team for really making it a great event. I think that all of the athletes that were representing their countries, they really sort of made it a well-run event, from the logistics, from the hotel, and from making it a spectacle in that respect. And I think the Asia Trailmasters coverage was just brilliant, and they had a huge amount of following online, and you can go back and see some of those videos. Highly recommend watching the about 5 or 10 minutes for the podium to get over the line on the men's side. Really, really entertaining. And just a quick recap of the other races, because albeit the top athletes and that had accumulated enough points from the Asia Trail Series were competing in the ATM finals, but worth calling out the podiums for the other categories: the 100 kilometer, which is actually 109 kilometers, and I believe maybe even longer given the reroute. But Oswald, Mike, there were the top three on the male side were all from Malaysia. It was Oswald, Michael, Musat, and Yasby Ismail. All finished. I mean, 15:33 was the winning time on the 100K course, and then on the female side, it was Lighty Renault, Narul Emya, and Desiree Jones. From 21 hours for the female winning race in the 100 category. The 50k course record put in by David Simpat, who hadn't accumulated enough points. I was a bit confused. I thought he was actually going to be running in the ATM finals, but he only ran TMBT last year, obviously winning, but given that so many Malaysians actually run more races, he hadn't accumulated enough points to appear in the final, but absolutely smashed it, just to put in a great run, winning in 6 hours, 5 minutes with a course record on the 50K. And then rounding out the top three on the men's was Vitus Daimai and Doimis Nojimbunt. Excuse me for butchering all of the names there on the 50k winners on the men's, and on the females it was Denise Ping and who's from Hong Kong in 9 hours, and then with two Malay runners, Hasnita Assis and Jessica Binti on second and third. Lastly, on the 30k, which was the course I ran. So it was great actually just going out and experiencing. I had run TMBT before. I'd run 50K back in 2019 and actually in 2018 also did the, it's 2018, I ran 2017. I ran the, I did an adventure race there, the Sabah Adventure Challenge, which actually still reigning champion on. It was the last time that Klaus and the team put on that adventure race, and I'd love to see it come back. It was just such an incredible combination of mountain biking and orienteering, river kayaking, so much fun. But coming back and seeing the course and getting to partly experience what the finalists, ATM finalists, were going through was great. And yeah, the winners of the male race was Alan Zaghouri, like really strong French runner based in Hong Kong, and then two Malays, Tivel Peter and Tahira Najmanisa, who rounded out the podium on the men's side. I came in like fifth on my category, sixth overall, yeah, it was good to be back at a start line again, and looking forward to getting in proper shape and being able to compete a little bit at a couple of the races that I do in the next couple of months. So with that, I'm going to bring in Mr. Jeff Campbell, our ATM Trailmaster champion for 2024, and hear about his experience from the race.
Tell the truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining because things ain't that bad.
Okay, I'm here with Mr. Jeff Campbell, the 2024 Asia Trail Masters World Champion. World Champion, Asia Champion. Congratulations, mate. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really great, surprised, pretty broken. It was a long, hard day out there. Just wasn't what I was expecting at all. So I'm over the moon.
Pretty emotional as well. I saw at the finish line, was there a tear to that glass eye? Did I see?
For me, trail running can get emotional. Like when you're out there for 10 hours, you go through a lot of highs and lows, and when you cross that finish line, sometimes it can be emotional when it doesn't go well. Yeah. But to me, this was just, I've done a lot of Asia Trailmaster races over the years. I had never had good luck in the championship finals. It almost felt a little bit out of body, seeing myself managing to hold off such a talented field. So it was very emotional.
Well, it has been many years in the making. The first time, so it's been around 3 or 4 years. You've won quite a few ATM races, but the first final you went in for was the Mount Apo, and famously took a proper tumble on the downhill, which is very technical downhill. That was 2022, right?
Yeah.
And on that occasion, you were sort of helped by your teammates back to, John Ellis sort of helped you back to the finish line pretty much. You were a casualty, right?
And then went straight to the hospital to get some stitches put in, and it was a pretty bad knock, actually. So, that one didn't go quite to plan.
And then you came back again in 2023 in Indonesia.
Yep.
And you had a really good season, went in, and how did last year go?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing with the final is it brings together the best ATM runners, really the best runners in Asia, and it's always going to be a strong field. So I think last year I had run Translantau 140, which was actually, I think it was about 130. They had to rewrote the course. But maybe 3 weeks prior to the final. So yeah. It was probably a little bit overcooked, not fully fresh. Yeah. I didn't have a bad race, but Stingray was on fire that day. And then Christian Jorgensen and Alessandro Sherpa they both had strong races. So I came in fourth, and I was happy with that. It's not often that I'll be sort of happy with a fourth place in a race in Asia. I like to be sort of right up there, sort of near the top. For the final, you're just going to be battling against the best of the best. So
you get to that start line, and that's what happened today. Is the field was incredible, and all of those people that you mentioned were back again this year, as well as we had some fantastic Nepalese runners in there. You had Arnie that was. Did Arnie not race last year?
Last year, no.
Yeah, so he was back in force as a winner from the Mount Apo race.
And then some of the local Malaysians who really know the course and the terrain around here. So, Milton and Wilson. So this was the deepest ATM field that I had ever participated in, probably the deepest that they've ever put together. And because of that, I was managing my expectations accordingly. I was not gunning for first place. I just wanted to run my own race, stay in the fight, and if I can sneak a podium, that'd be great. Maybe top five was sort of more realistic, and I just wanted to go out there and have the best race that I could have.
Yeah, well, there's one person we didn't mention there, which was Kitamura.
Yeah.
And so at the start line, and actually the footage was incredible for Asia Trail Master this year. I mean, the live stream had so many people watching it. But interestingly, the front pack, Stingray went out hard. Like, he really wanted to put it into the Nepalese.
Yeah.
And they was trying to, like, cook them early.
Yeah.
And you were in that pack as well. Arnie was in that pack. Yeah. What was the vibe there? Were you all like, were you trying to run your own race, or were you racing from the beginning?
Because it started off on a road section, I was comfortable kind of hanging around with that. It didn't feel like it was, pushing my limits. I was keeping an eye on my heart rate. It was not in a worrying sort of zone.
What was it, out of interest?
Like in that sort of first maybe 5 kilometers, maybe about 155, somewhere around that. Yeah. So it was just, it's fine. And then once we got into the jungle section, because sort of between the first checkpoint and the second one, probably had the most technical jungle terrain, and which is not my forte. And that's where I really started to notice just how easily and smoothly a lot of those Filipino and Malaysian runners can sort of weave their way through that really, the slippery rocks and roots and, foliage. You can't even see where your foot placements are. So I did take a couple of falls. One of them took a pretty big knock on my shin. Have a bit of a hematoma that I had to run with for another 70K.
It's huge. One of your calves is double the size of the other. That's a tough one.
But sort of what happened in those sections was, the rest of the pack would would sort of separate from me. I couldn't sort of match them stride for stride in those sections. But then we'd get to a road bit, and I would sort of close the gap within, you know, a kilometer, and yeah. and we'd be back in a pack again. So it was sort of a little bit of that sort of sort of elastic sort of cat and mouse. But I didn't feel like I was I was overexerting myself at that point, and I could tell that Stingray, who, you know, is usually the man to beat, you know, if he's on his day, he didn't seem like he was on his day. He wasn't breaking away from the rest of the pack. Yeah. So I knew that would sort of present some interesting, you know, potential opportunities as the race went on.
Yeah, and Kitamura at this time was actually a good few minutes behind you, actually. And on the live feed, Chris was a bit concerned. He's like, what's wrong with Kitamura? Because he was, I'll say this up front, Kitamura was his bet to win it.
Yeah.
You were mine. And he owes me money on that as well. But in the women's race, I had Vanya, he had Priya Rai. So we've evened each other out now.
I think the odds would have been longer for me. So first off, Hisashi and I raced against each other in Japan at the Daisetsu trail journey. And he had a really great race in that one and beat me by about 15 minutes. And in that race, he went out very hard. But he's an interesting runner in that sometimes he does hold back and really really sort of makes his move later in the game. So I didn't see him at all really the entire race.
And he, and you didn't see him the entire race.
Not the entire race.
I mean, other than
the start line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Arnie was obviously was part of that front pack, right? The Nepalese runners also were going out really strong. But I believe, at what point did you and Arnie sort of break away from the Nepalese runners? Because there were three Nepalese runner, Arjun and another couple of guys that ended up getting quite badly lost on a couple of occasions.
Yeah. So I think it was coming out of checkpoint three. I did a fast checkpoint there and left the checkpoint in third with Arjun just ahead and Arnie maybe, you know, 100 meters ahead of him. And that's when we went out into a long road section that had a bit of a descent first and then a big, long, exposed highway road climb. And I just, matched against those two. I'm a little bit sort of more comfortable on the roads and managed to sort of open up a gap. And because that section was so long and I was just feeling really nice at that point in the race, I felt that I was probably opening up a decent gap.
Yeah.
And I knew that Stingray was having some stomach issues and you didn't really know what was happening behind that group. So, you know, Christian was just not part of the fight. Sherpa wasn't part of that group. And Hisashi, I just assumed was maybe he wasn't having a day or maybe he was, planning to make a late move or something, but he wasn't part of it at that point. So the question that I had sort of at the end of that long road section was, and that was probably might have been like almost an hour of roads, was how big the gap was and how much was that going to sort of allow me to work with in terms of the gap that I needed to protect.
Yeah, because we must point out that the actual course changed quite considerably from the original plan course. The last, I've been chatting with Klaus, the race director.
Yeah.
The last 2 days have been a nightmare here. There's been torrential rain and really heavy winds, which meant that actually one of the bridges got swept away by the river. So they had to and it meant that there was about another 7K of additional distance and a lot of it on road
which
played to your strengths.
And the race director the whole organizers did a great job. it's a really tough job when the weather is not going according to plan. And you need to make those decisions for safety. So it did lengthen the course, but it probably was more suited to me with just a little bit more asphalt.
Well, you say that. You're a 2:29 marathon runner.
Yeah.
Hasashi is also a 2:30 marathon
runner,
right? Yeah. So it's funny, we'll talk about sort of like when it got to it. In fact, let's get into it actually towards the end of the race. So, So the last sort of 15K of the race has like, there's an 8K climb in there, which is, and it's all on technical trail going uphill.
No, it's more like sort of dirt road, fire road kind of thing.
Got you, yeah.
But it's a real bugger of a climb. It's maybe 900 meters. Relentless. There's almost no flat sections. So,
and you were running it?
I was not. So, this was my longest race of the year so far. I started the year off with an injury and wasn't able to sort of get into trail races until sort of May-ish, and I just didn't have the distance in the legs. I think I had a decent training block, but with about 20K to go, I just started losing a lot of the energy. I started to get a little bit hot. And what I was just moving so slowly through the trail sections and even getting to the sort of flat bits that I would normally smash pretty hard, just didn't have the juice in the legs. So I was moving slow enough that I was told that Hasashi was 10 minutes behind.
So at what point were you told that he was 10 minutes behind? Was that around 15K to go?
No, that was with around 25K to go.
Right, okay, yeah.
And I knew that I was shipping a lot of time by that point.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of when, not if, when I'd get caught and how many people would catch me. So I wasn't going to make it easy for them. I would go as fast as I could on what I had left in the legs, but I was moving slow and I was looking over my shoulder and waiting just to see visual contact, which surprisingly I didn't see any visual contact until when I was leaving the last checkpoint with about 13K to go. Just as I was leaving that checkpoint, Arnie was going in, and I just thought, okay, so it's going to be Arnie. I thought maybe it would be Hasashi, but it was going to be Arnie who was going to catch me and clinch his second Asia Trail Master Championship. And I sort of made peace with that. I was going to give him a big hug at the finish line and congratulate him and hope that I wouldn't get passed by too many others.
So you'd partially resigned to the fact that you were going to get overtaken.
I didn't give up in terms of just running as hard as I could, but I did not have any illusions that the pace that I was going for those last 13 kilometers were going to hold off a guy who was just coming into the checkpoint that I left. Understanding that he must have closed a big gap in the preceding sort of 10-15 kilometers, to me it was just when, not if.
Third to last checkpoint, I think Arnie was probably 5 minutes behind you or so, 5 or 6 minutes behind you. Okay. And then I think Hasashi Kitamura was almost the similar behind Arnie at that point. And likewise, watching on the feed, it's like, oh, okay, Arnie's going to be the one that's going to try and put it into Jeff. Yeah. But Hasashi has run this race, I think, three times. Yeah. And I think he's finished second. Like last year...
Well, he was based in Malaysia for years,
Well, he
right?
was based in KL, yeah. So he used to come over a bit. And last year, he had a battle with David Simpat and got beaten in the end. I think... and so came back this year, but having the knowledge of the course, which you've never run before, right?
Yeah,
and so part of me, when watching it early, when he was quite far behind, I was thinking, no, maybe it's just strategic pacing because he was looking good going through the checkpoints. He was still looking strong and was just running his own race. But he was absolutely hammering on those last two sections. But obviously you're oblivious to it because you don't know.
Correct.
What was it like? You get to... off the trail up to the last bit of road, and there's probably like 200 meters getting over the finish line. What was the feeling getting over and passing there?
Well, even before that point, like that last 9 kilometer climb, I thought that even in the 4 kilometers between the last checkpoint and the start of the climb, that I would be past already, and it didn't happen. So I started that climb. I said, well, I'm just going to, I don't have the juice in the legs to run it. I was trying to run little bits of it, but the legs just weren't turning over. So I was just power hiking as fast as I could, and trying to mitigate the damage, but still wasn't seeing anyone in visual distance. And there were a few points in that where you could get a good look over your shoulder.
Yeah, because if it's fire track all the way up, you can see quite a way down.
Right? Yeah, it's not like forest trails, right? So I was like, I could see 200, 300 meters behind me and just no one's there. But I'm like, okay, well, it's still going to happen. And then you get to 5K, you're remaining. And it's like, okay, maybe there was enough of a gap. Maybe something happened to Arnie. Who knows? And then it gets to 3K and then 2K, and there's still some really steep bits of in those last 2 kilometers. So still not really able to run, still power hiking all of those. And then it wasn't until maybe 500 meters to go that I was like, okay, I think I held on. I think I got it. Even with 2 kilometers to go, I was just thinking, well, it's going to be a pretty tragic ending to be passed in the last bit, because I was still convinced that I just wasn't moving fast enough.
That kind of convinced you're going to lose it, but how did you didn't actually give up there. It would have been quite easy just to go, oh, I'm just going to power hike this home, and just, you were still pushing really hard right to the end. What's the kind of mentality to be able to do that? Were you thinking, this is the third time I've attempted the ATM finals. Like I need to get it this time. Or
maybe I would have been happy with a second also. But it's just one of those where, okay, well, it's only a few kilometers to go. So just put in everything that you got. And if that gives you a 10% chance or a 50%, whatever it is, you don't know what it is. Right. But you play the cards that you got and you hope for the best. And that's what I did. And if the course had been another 1500 meters longer, this actually would have flown.
Well, so we say that now, and you got over the finish line. You looked really emotional. I was so proud of you to see you get over the finish line and just get that win in. But we knew Hisashi was very close. Literally within 1.5 minutes, he came in just behind you, and he was hammering. And in a 10-hour race to be one, like the minuscule. And as you say, if it had been another 1.5K or something, then you could have been. Having said that, the race was already 8-7K longer than it should have been. But just Hisashi's energy coming over the finish line. You did me again, because you finished ahead of him in the finals last year. It's only in that race in Hokkaido that he's beaten you before. But he was a fantastic sport coming over the finish line.
I mean, he's the energy that he brings when any race that he goes to is infectious. And I love Hisashi. He's a phenomenal athlete and a really good dude. I think he probably just left it a little bit too late, started a little bit conservatively. But trail racing is such a weird sport in that sometimes you say that, but if you had have gone out a little bit harder, you wouldn't have had the juice in. Or so if you change any sort of variable, other things could have changed also. So it was a battle, and I just managed to squeak it out.
To hold on. It kind of reminded me of the race in Chiang Mai that John Ennis had against Hisashi. That was also actually, there was a points battle on that occasion on who would actually win the ATM finals.
This was before they moved to the championship final.
Exactly. But it actually almost ended up that it was a final anyway.
Yeah.
And the two of them absolutely were burying each other. And I remember a quote of Hisashi saying, hey, like, I'm a 2:30 marathon runner, do you really think you're going to be able to catch me on this road bit? And they hammered each other, and John took him out on that stage, like, and I think he won by just a minute or so on that occasion as well.
What is it with T8 athletes and taking out Hisashi? But it was such an and then Arnie turns up at the finish line literally only 3 or 4 minutes after. With his quads cramping up and the aliens in his quads that are like all moving, and I think you all put in an incredible shift today.
Well, as I said, it was such a deep field. You know, you could have pulled any one of 10, maybe more names out of a hat, and any of them could have made up the podium. So I think Hisashi and Arnie, well deserved, and probably deserved to have squeaked it out for the win, either of them. It's always a pleasure racing with them, and it was just a great event and a pretty fun day out.
Yeah, the other person that I thought was going to give you a bit of a challenge, who came in fourth, was Milton Amat, home turf.
Yeah.
He put in a really good run, but
great athlete.
And it makes a big difference. I mean, like it did with Arnie in Apo a few years ago, just having that, knowing the course like the back of your hand does give you an advantage. And then Chris Timms, what a run from Chris Timms, putting in a top five. We'll chat with him as well. But he, surprising everyone. He was going for top 10. He benefited obviously from the fact that both Stingray and Christian, I think, finished with about 50K with about 30K to go. They both DNF'd, and so that jumped him up to fifth, but incredible performance. And then on the women's side, Priya Rai, wow, she finished fifth overall. What an incredible run from her.
Amazing performance, and Vanya coming in second, and I think Rashila nabbed third. So I mean, it's an incredibly strong women's field for that race. I think the ATM circuit has really given a rise in the prominence of the sport in Asia, and I love the final format personally. Not the greatest success at it, I just love the idea of kind of bringing everyone who's qualified in over the course of the season for a shootout, as opposed to just being a grind for points, because it really just it just brings all the names and. With each year, the course changing, it can suit different athletes, and I think it's a great format.
And that was, honestly, I've been at many a finish line, and that was one of the most exciting finish lines that I've witnessed in a long while. The three of you were so close together, and just the atmosphere then, and when you were getting over the finish line, incredible stuff. So I must ask you, I know it's always hard once you've just put in a shift like you have today, but what's up next? What have you got coming in the next few months?
I'm going to take a few days off.
No, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You need to get back out there. You've been doing pretty intense training as well, right? You've been doing like 140, 150K weeks.
Yeah, well, I did feel that starting the year, with the injury, did need to sort of rebuild a lot of the fitness and the aerobic base. And I wanted to come into the final with at least having that fitness.
In fact, we should touch on that, Jeff, because when we were together at the Hong Kong 100 coverage, we were both injured at that time.
Yeah.
But you had had a debilitating knee injury, which you didn't have surgery on, but you'd had, was it ACL?
It was the MCL.
MCL, yeah.
And a few other sort of ligaments and tendons in there. So yeah, I was doing some off-piste skiing with John Ellis and twisted my left knee sort of all the way around, and it just sort of took me off all running.
But you didn't have to have it operated on.
Luckily nothing was ruptured, but it was still wrenched pretty good, and it took a while to get the range of motion to be able to run, and then even longer to get the trust on the left leg for technical trails and being comfortable loading it and getting the trust back in the knee. So it was a really shortened season for me. And actually, with the ATM final being moved ahead this year, it meant that I only did the UTSG in Singapore and then the Daisetsu Trail Journey. Those were my only two ATM races.
To get enough points
to get to the final.
Yeah.
So I did feel like I was playing a little bit of catch up. And that was one of the reasons why I sort of wanted to have a little bit more volume in the block.
Yeah, well, I mean, really inspiring that you came back from such a tough injury and you were out for 5-6 months or so. December to May, or
I started doing a little bit of sort of racing in sort of April, like short stuff.
Yeah.
The UTSG was my longest race of the year, and then Daisetsu Trail Journey, which was the 60K, was my longest up to that point, and then the ATM Final was my longest race of the year.
Yeah.
So it was. Maybe actually that sort of helped in that I wasn't overcooked. I wasn't over racing and could sort of concentrate on getting a few decent races in, and then just trying to dial in the training as best as I could.
Yeah. So coming up next, you're doing the Moon Trekker?
So Moon Trekker in October, which is one of my favorite races in Hong Kong.
It's about 35K, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 42.
Okay,
I think it's 42. It starts at night and ends on a beach. It's a real sort of a well-established race in Hong Kong, and then haven't run Trail Walker for 2 years, or a year and a half. So I'm going when it was done off the normal schedule. So we're gonna do a team this year, sort of the Joint Dynamics Gone Running T8 kind of
combo,
and
give that a crack. It's a good stable of athletes you can pick from.
Yeah, and OTW is just, it's such an amazing sort of community race in Hong Kong. Brings out some quality runners, but also just the whole community, and it's a supported race, so you get to have support runners running with you the whole day. It's a special and unique day. So looking forward to that in November.
Awesome, and then going into next year, are you going to do Hong Kong 100?
I might. I think it's. I wanted to do it last year. I was signed up for it, and it ended up in the commentary booth instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you might need to find a new commentary partner, and I will plan to do that one. And then I haven't really planned out fully my whole 2025. I'll take a look at the calendar. The World Championships are next year, but it's not automatic that you get a spot on the team. So yeah. I'll try to get myself in shape in case I get the nod.
Well, Jeff, I mean, you are 42 years old. You've come back from being out injured for 4 months, and you have just put in performance of your life, and one of the best performances that I've witnessed, and as a spectator of trail running sport. You should be immensely proud, mate. That was such an incredible run. So good to see. I'm top guy. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you. It's I feel really lucky to take part in this sport, and it's an amazing community we have.
It's an inspiration, mate. Good stuff. Nice one, Jeff.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Rest up.
Tell the truthful story if they ever ask. Stop the complaining, cause things ain't that bad.